A warm welcome from a still shocked UTAS HQ. The Bonner departure is still sinking in, but the show must go on, and there's potential FA Cup glory to preview. Good evening. My name's Jordan. Thanks for joining us. Before we go anywhere, I have to say, Mark, it was a hell of a ride. Thank you for everything. And helping me talk about a first game without Bonner at the helm for what, 4 years, 5 years, is Mr. Tom Walker. Evening, Tom.
Yeah, it's a strange one, isn't it? Obviously listen to the guys on the pod that they did yesterday, sort of immediately after the news, and they obviously covered a lot of it and covered a lot of it well. But I think the kind of overriding sentiment from it is just a bit of shock, really. We'll obviously get into our own opinions. I don't think it was necessarily the wrong call to make, should we say, and that's obviously something I've spoken about, maybe not so much on air, but certainly privately with people that have gone to the games with. My opinion's been that this is something that we should have done maybe a couple of weeks back, and obviously that's increased, to be honest, over the last couple of weeks, to the point that I felt it was a necessary decision. But it's sad, it is. Like you say, he's been, in charge of the football club as manager, since, just before the pandemic. And, it's easy to forget what a low ebb we were in, when he did take that sort of interim charge. And, it's almost kind of doing him a disservice just to analyse his impact in terms of, the managerial side of it, the actual job that he did. Because there's clearly so much more to it, and he's led the club through so much, whether it's the pandemic, transitioning into new training facilities, don't underestimate that. Don't underestimate the importance of that. New ownership, I think, obviously Adam and Mark coming in, he steadied the ship through during that period. Promotion into League One, losing a lot of good players, buying the ground back, all these sorts of monumental things that, impact the longer term future of football club. And he's been the constant through it. And, it has to be sad when someone like that leaves, but the analysis of it doesn't change. So, yeah, I guess we'll have our chance to reflect. Jord, we were otherwise engaged when the guys were picking through the bones of it, sort of in the immediate.
Well, that's the
we get our chance.
That's the problem for you and I, Tom. We have like actual proper jobs, 9 to 5, so we can't jump on the phone at the. And like 11:30 or whatever it was when they were.
I'll be really honest with you. it's not much of an excuse though, because like I was doing my proper job at the time. And I think I said to you and I said to Julian, who obviously we were stood together at the game and afterwards. I think I said to you both. I said, I think that's it. Like I really think it will change after this. And I can't. There was just a really strange feeling afterwards. But anyway, I was doing my proper job, and I thought. I checked at sort of 8, 9 o'clock. I was like, right, if they're going to release a statement, they'll release a statement early. And I thought, I'll just check sort of mid-morning. And it was there, and it just threw me into total shock. Like, I couldn't really think about much else. But
and a real moody picture to go with it. Not even a corner flag. So at least it was done right, I guess. But you're right. We stood together on Tuesday night. I gave up the lovely Habin. And look what happens to the fucking world. So never again am I venturing from the Habin to the NRE, because... big things happen. But yeah, I was in the NRE because the guy I normally go to the games with couldn't make it. And I messaged him after the game, obviously said you picked a good game to miss, but also said, I don't see how he turns it round. But the difference from where I was to where you were, you quite rightly said, I think that's him done. I thought he was in trouble, but I just thought he'd get till February, March again. So yeah, just real shock for me. And I guess, well, I was talking to a friend of the pod, Nappers, earlier, and we've got his Fleetwood preview coming up, so it's to stay with us. But he was saying, was it Uwe Rosler was their manager that did really well for them and then didn't do so well the following season and got sacked. And he was sort of explaining his feelings at the time. And he made this good point. It's like, the first 24 hours, it's kind of shock. And then it's like the next 24 hours it kind of sort of sinks in and you realize it is no longer this person in charge of the club anymore, and that you and I are obviously now in that period. And I had that kind of moment this morning when I was talking to a friend. The Spotify Wrapped has all come out today. A friend of mine has UTAS as his number one podcast.
What a guy. What a guy.
And he has listened to 1,872 minutes of UTAS in the last 12 months. And I just thought, how many of those 1,800 minutes were Tom Walker moaning about Mark Bonner? And now we can't. He can't do it anymore. How are we going to feel the next 1,800 minutes?
Yeah.
That's how shock and grief works.
Yeah, I think it's worth reiterating the point again. And you know, I think, you know, particularly sort of earlier on this year, this calendar year, that is, or January, February, when it was really falling apart for the first time. You know, we obviously talked a lot about, you know, our own opinions and, you know, mine, to be honest, is maybe changed in the sort of intermediate bits. But, you know, I was obviously pretty vocal. I thought a change was needed earlier on in the year. And obviously that was something that came about. And I do think it's worth reiterating the point that it was never the case that anyone wanted to see Mark Bonner get sacked. Like, you literally couldn't wish to have a better person leading the football club. And yeah, I think the difference in opinion has been, and ultimately, realistically, where this decision has been made is, do you really believe that he's going to be the person to turn this around? And I think, like, if you look at the decision and try and pick it apart, and, you know, if we're trying to have a say on whether we think it's right or wrong, you know, obviously the immediate reaction and everything that's followed since has been, you know, quite kind of heartfelt, emotional discussion about, you know, the impact on the football club. There's been so many sort of personal stories of where, you know, Mark Bonner's gone above and beyond his role as a manager just to be, you know, at times an ambassador of the football club. And, you know, where I think there's maybe an element of frustration from some people with the decision, like ex-players, people that have worked closely with Bonner, either as staff, as, you know, just kind of closely involved with the football club. Like, they're all remarking on what an incredible person he was for the football club. And that is a measure of the man. But I think a measure of the decision and whether it's right or wrong is that I've not seen a single argument in favour of keeping him based on his merit currently. And that really is where this decision has been taken. And, you know, where I thought, and to be honest, I never really got the impression at any point last season that they would make the change, even if I thought it was the right thing to do. I never thought that the board would do it. And clearly, you know, the words credit in the bank were used a lot throughout last season. Mm-hmm. And I think that was partly it. You know, he obviously showed his loyalty to us when he could have gone off to Rotherham. We showed it to him when we could and possibly should have sacked him earlier on this year. But I think we started this season on very much more of a level playing field. You know, I think there's big investment into the infrastructure of the football club, investment into the playing staff. And look, fundamentally, he hasn't been delivering. And, you know, the trend over the last 2 weeks has been just extremely concerning. And I think a lot of the messaging that's come from Bonner in the previous couple of weeks, without trying to kind of labour the point too much, like, if you're an owner of a football club or owners of a football club that have pumped millions into developing the infrastructure of it, and what you're hearing is, well, you know, what if we stay out? That's job done, isn't it? Which it is, and I get that. And obviously it's maybe kind of real, you know, a kind of a harsh dose of reality in some senses. That can't be your manager saying that. And I think it just became a point where, look, whether it's through a lack of ability, whether it's through a lack of willingness, whether it's just through a lack of luck, even nothing he was doing was getting through to these players, and that's fundamentally why this decision has been taken. And you know what? There's, you know, I've seen a couple of comments. Maybe it's quite knee jerk to a few bad results. Like, it's not a knee jerk decision at all. I think Paul Barry and the rest of the board gave him the benefit of the doubt last season. However, the same trends have just repeated themselves so emphatically. And you know, look, they haven't got to where they are in terms of, you know, their own personal circumstances, you know, their professional lives, by letting mistakes repeat themselves. And you know, I guess it's all kind of hypothetical to a sense, because we'll never truly know the answer. But I think if we were sat here in 3 months' time and Mark Bonner still as manager, we'd be in the same position that we were that time last year, if not even a little bit worse. And that's why they've had to pull the trigger. And it's not something that I think they would have taken any pride doing. It's not something they would have liked to have done. It was it's probably like the least, you know, the last thing on their list that they'd have wanted to do at any point in this season. But look, all good things come to an end, right? You know, he's been in charge for you know, more time than most managers, more time than most people spend in any job, and along the way delivered some incredible things. You know, and you know, as the guys did yesterday, you know, we're trying not to fall into the trap of just repeating everything that's already been said, but you know, you could do an entire pod just on Mark Bonner and just on his impact. And you know if you look at the impact that the lockdown team had on everyone, like, that can never be forgotten and will never be forgotten. And you think of Newcastle away, that's arguably the football club's greatest moment, you know, the greatest result in the football club's history. And you know, it's no coincidence that these things come under the management of a guy with such passion. But you know, here we are, fresh ideas are needed, and we will be getting them, I think. And I'm excited, you know, I'm excited to see what comes next, because, you know, I feel like it kind of feels a little bit cold and sort of calculated to say it now, but I think, look, that door's shut now. You know, it's shut. We've just got to go again. There are people out there who can lead this football club in a similarly impactful way. They might not have the natural connection to it that Mark Bonner had, but, you know, don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened, Jord.
You'll just never have that again. You'll never have that manager with the connection, you know, stood on the terraces, worked his way up through the club from the youth team and so on. It is a unique story. And I guess all stories have an ending. And yeah, I'm going to remember the good times and not, you know, the last 12 months of what has been, if we're honest, awful football. I know a lot of fans, from what I've seen, obviously since he was sacked, but also sort of in the last few weeks before, you know, while I was still in the role, a lot of fans are kind of upset about it and kind of had the mindset of would rather go down with him still in charge and let him have another crack at going again and trying to get us back up or stabilizing in League Two, and we wouldn't ever be able to replace him and things like that. And I think it was a similar conversation last season when we were talking about whether he stays or goes. And there's a question that's coming from Paul, which I'm going to put to you in a second, Tom, about what fans think is realistic for the club. But the point I'm trying to get to here is, what I'm taking warmth from and what I'm taking consolation from, and I think other Cambridge fans should do the same, is, like you were saying a second ago, what Paul Barry and the board have done here isn't knee-jerk. They are, from what I understand from meeting them briefly, from speaking to people that do know them, they want great things for this club. They're ambitious. You know, we've seen it. They brought the ground back. They spent all this money on the training ground. This is a group of people in charge of our club that don't want us to drop back down into League Two. They want quite the opposite. I wouldn't be surprised if they're thinking, let's try and aim for the Championship in the next sort of, I don't know, however many years, but try and move that way, and redeveloping the ground is part of it. So, yeah, I guess that's the consolation that I'm taking, that they're doing what's right to sort of protect that vision that they want. And should that ever come into fruition, then that will be amazing times, just like the amazing times we had under Mark Bonner. But anyway, yeah, this question to you then, which Paul's tweeted in, it basically just says, you know, do the fans, you know, is there sort of delusions of grandeur amongst the fans, and what is the ceiling for Cambridge United?
Well, the ceiling's a difficult one to answer, because who knows what could happen when, you know, particularly things with the stadium, like when that changes the whole outlook. And, you know, could be sat here debating something that realistically we'll only know about in 15 or 20 years time. And that's how these long-term infrastructure projects work, right? But, you know, clearly a lot of it is determined by budget, and obviously that's something that will, you know, realistically only have the possibility to significantly increase when there's significantly more money coming into the club, which will happen when we can get more people at the games and, you know, more money coming into the club during the week and stuff like that. All of which,
when we sell McConnell for 20 mil. Yeah. No, I know.
Or that, you know, who knows? That'll break Casper's heart, won't it? Regardless of the fee. Delusions of grandeur. I mean, this kind of ties into something that I was talking about earlier. I mean, there's been a lot of chat about like, oh, like what do Cambridge fans expect? You know, what's the real, what's the expectation here? You know, there's no loyalty in football. The guy got you to where you are. Yeah, but like it was so rapidly falling apart. Like I'm not sat here with delusions of grandeur thinking that this is the right decision to make. You know, I'm not expecting us to be the best team in the league. I'm not expecting any of that, but I'm expecting us not to, wilt away at our biggest rivals. I'm expecting us to compete better than we did on Tuesday night, frankly. And it's not an unrealistic thing to say that we can get better than what we than what we've been getting over the course of 13 months. We've been poor, and that includes two pretty decent spells in it. So if you take the kind of bulk of it, it's been nothing sort of atrocious for quite a long time. And look, like, you know, there's obviously the discussion, have the players let him down? Have his staff let him down? Has he got the squad that he needs? All this sort of stuff. But like the buck stops with the manager with these things, unfortunately. Like there's got to be a portion of responsibility, and fundamentally he's the one that's paid the price for it. And, the ceiling of the football club, you know, just to kind of go back to that a little bit, I think, obviously it starts with really stabilising yourself in League One. And I think if we're being honest, we could never be truly confident of that under Bonner. I think with fresh ideas, fresh impetus, maybe more pedigree, shall we say, with a group of players that I do believe are better than what they've been showing. I think there's opportunity to really stabilise yourself this season.
Mm-hmm.
At least it gives the option to do that, and that for now is good enough. And that good, and that for us now is a good result. I don't think the expectation changes at all, to be honest. I don't think anything, about our ambitions or immediate expectations go up or down or anything else just because Mark Bonner's left. But I think it's just a case of like, we now feel more confident that we're in a position where we can bring someone in to actually go out and do it. And that's pretty much how it is for me. But look, all of this is obviously tinged with pretty raw emotion. Because someone that is unanimously like adored by the football club and its fan base, is no longer with the club, and that's hard to take.
Steve tweeted in, and I've got a similar kind of memories myself, not as far back as Steve. So Steve said, "I remember United sacking Johnny Dock at the time. I said it was a mistake, and unfortunately, I was right. Hope history doesn't repeat itself and this time I'm wrong. But sacking a manager working with a bottom eight budget because they're in the bottom eight doesn't make sense." I remember, obviously, Richard Money going. And I also remember Roy McFarlane going. And, both times, the next appointment didn't work out. And I feel like we're at a really, really crucial point now for the club, based on everything that you and I have just been saying for the last 10 minutes about wanting to progress and move forward, that it's kind of an obvious thing to say, but I'll say it anyway, that the next appointment is huge. Like someone to come in and not just steady the ship for the remainder of this season, but someone to have a vision for how we can move from, in that bottom six, bottom eight clubs of the league into sort of the higher part of the higher part of the division. That point there about, having a bottom eight budget and being in the bottom eight, perhaps you kind of mentioned this in your previous answer there, Tom, but how does that kind of mentality sort of sit with you? You got any thoughts on that?
I respect the sentiment, but it just completely ignores all context of what's been happening. Mark Bonner's not been sacked because we're 18th in the league. Like, hopefully that's really obvious to everybody. And I think, if you think that is the case, then, go and speak to Paul Barry and ask him why he's done it. But, the reason this change has been made is because the same trends are repeating themselves that happened last season, and Bonner's shown no sign or had shown no sign of being able to turn it round. And Lincoln was the final straw for so many reasons for that. But, like, this is kind of the sentiment I kind of take a bit of issue with sometimes, which is, the whole idea of, well, he should be allowed to take us down. He should be allowed to be given the time to see how it pans out. And like, the discussion that a lot of people would say is, we didn't see it coming because we thought it'd have to get so bad before anything changed. Why? Like, why does it have to happen? Why does it have to turn toxic? Why does it have to get like untenably shit before you make a change? Something's happened before. They've seen it happen again. They've acted quickly to do really the only thing that they could do to actually remedy this. There's nothing else that could change, realistically. We're not going to be able to go out and sign an entire new squad of players. Probably can't afford to do that, let alone the fact of the logistics of changing 16 people mid-season is just mental. And look, changing the manager is for any football club, it's the easiest and the quickest route to impacting results on the pitch. And you know, that probably seems like a cutthroat thing to do because of the connections Bonner's got to the club and obviously everything else that we've talked about so much over the last few years. But that's the industry that he's in. Like, he'll understand that as well as anybody. Like, if results are bad and trends persist, like, the manager pays the price, and that's how it works. That's how it's always worked. That's how it probably will always work. And look, he'll be, you know, you'd think thick-skinned enough to know that. Look, now it's for him, it's all about the next job, and I'm sure there'll be a club that will benefit from, you know, him leaving us. But you know, I can't seriously believe that there's people that think he's been sacked because we're in the bottom eight. That's not how this has happened. It's not why it's happened. And, you know, the question of budget is something that's come up time and time again. And look, obviously we are ultimately going to be hamstrung by our budget, but like, I think the difference is like, you don't have to let it slide to like irretrievable levels of terribleness before making this change. And that's where, like, you know what? I give credit to the board. I give credit to Barry. I give credit to the owners and everyone who's been involved in the decision. And that's not to say it's something that I'm happy that's happened, because like we said before, like, you know, you don't want to see a good man depart the football club. But like, other football clubs would just let this get toxic and terrible, and it really starts to impact on the way people think about Bonner and his legacy and everything else. They haven't let that happen. They haven't let it get to that point. I'm not saying they've done him a favour, because clearly it's quite the opposite. But I think, you know, we might and hopefully will look back in 6 months and think, you know what, we made a change at a good time there. And only time will tell. You know, it's nothing that we can decide here. It's nothing that we can convince anyone of now, because fundamentally where we're sat on the last day of the season or after the last game of the season will determine whether people view this as the right decision or the wrong decision. And at the moment, obviously a lot of it's clouded by emotion and judgment and personal opinion, but you know, the facts are going to be the facts at the end of the season. I believe that we're not necessarily going to see an instant impact in terms of the sort of manager bounce that you see sometimes, because I don't think it was the case of like, you know, when like Derry left or when Calderwood left, and the like the players are just down tools. They clearly didn't like playing for the guy. They, you know, there was nothing like that with Bonner. I don't think the players have stopped playing for him. I think they really like the guy, really buy into him. You only have to speak to someone who's interactive in the briefest possible manner to know that he's not the sort of person that you turn on. So I don't think it's necessarily going to be the case. It's going to be a sudden lift because he's gone. But I think what you might see, and what I'd like to think we'll see, and what I guess the owners think we'll see, having made the decision, is it'll be sat here at the end of March, you know, sort of time, and think, you know what, we're better off than we would have been. And if that's the case, then look, it's the right decision for everyone. And as sad as it is, you know, these things do come to an end, and you have to move on very quickly.
There will be plenty of manager chat here on UTAS over the next couple of weeks, but let's try and get some match chat in as well. There is a game on Saturday and a very good opportunity to progress in the FA Cup and pick up some prize money and potentially a big third round trip somewhere. Tom and I are going to talk about the Fleetwood game in just a second, but before we do that, let's get pod favourite and Fleetwood fan Napper's take on everything Fleetwood so far. Right then, news fans, it's time to get some Fleetwood insight from an actual Fleetwood fan. Joining us this week on the preview show, friend of the pod, Fleetwood fan, and all-round League One guru, it's Napper's. Good to have you back, mate.
Very, you know, very happy to be on and discuss this weekend's, you know, key FA Cup game. It's always a difficult one, the second round of the FA Cup. The first one, normally, yeah, kind of, you know, playing a lower league side, most of all, because League One, the highest league in it. Second round, they normally filter out and you're playing League Two, League One. And it's a difficult one because we're playing a side away from home, a side that has already beaten us this season at our place, and the side that we're going to in January as well. So looking forward to it. And if you offer me now 3 points in January and out the FA Cup, I'd take that. But I think you'd be saying the exact same thing.
Do you not fancy it on Saturday? You know, we're bang out of form. You're, I don't know, not in great form, but picked up a little bit since changing the manager. Do you not look at this and go, actually, of all the games that we could have got in round two, obviously we would rather have had a lower league or non-league team at home. That's the easiest one in that pass into the third round. But beyond that, sort of playing one of the worst form teams in the country seems to be a good sort of consolation prize for the second round. So do you not fancy it a little bit, thinking smell, you know, blood in the water a little bit?
Well, we've played you five times since you came back into League One, and we've always kind of struggled. I know the first season there was a couple of draws, 2-2 at your place, 1-1 back at ours. And, you know, last season that you beat us on Easter, where I remember saying to you, I looked at you on a fixture and saying, it's possible this for you to stay up. And I kind of, we worked it out and we thought, and it kind of came true in the end. And we beat you last season, and we should never have beaten you last season. That was the story of your season. I think you hit the bar. I think there was an open goal miss as well, you know, from about 5 yards out, and we just suddenly found the goal in the last minute. And that was typical Fleetwood under Brown, play awful, covered the cracks, and we won 1-0. And that's what we're not doing this season. So no, it's going to be a tricky tie, in my opinion. You've already beat us in the FA Cup before. You know, beat us 1-0, I think 2014-15. Beat us 1-0 in the first round. So I'm hoping it's not a repeat of that. It's not the greatest of ties, to be honest, but it's not the worst of ties. It's better than going to somewhere like, you know, a Portsmouth. I know they're, you know, obviously out, or a Bolton, but you know, I think Cambridge and Fleetwood are quite equally matched, and yet it could go either way.
I'm going to ask you lots about Fleetwood in a second, but you also do, beyond your own Fleetwood channel, you're part of the League One pod as well. So you do content on the league as a whole. So with that in mind, would love to know your thoughts on the Mark Bonner sacking this week from an outsider's perspective that knows a bit about the league. What's your take on that?
I like Mark Bonner for what he did for Cambridge United Football Club. It was an unbelievable ride. He saw off a promotion. He got the job done. That first season, he did an unbelievable job, you know, and, you know, with Cheltenham as well, and never looked like going down. You look at the quality of the bottom four, but even if they were any better, you know, 50-odd points in his first season was, you know, good, nearly in the 60s, really. And, you know, he's lost key players pretty much, you know, throughout his tenure as well. You know, your Mullins, he's lost Nibbs, Sam Smith in the summer as well. I think he's done a really good job there. And last season, you gave him time, and it was really good to see that he turned that around with kind of the last 8 or 9 games of the season. Look, those 9 games covered cracks for 20 poor ones. But he got the job done. That was kind of achieved. And look at you brought a lot of experienced players in the summer. Danny Andrew, Gaston Ahadmi, you know, as well. Stevens in goal. And you added to it, you've got good young players as well. You know, Bennett's, Brophy's an experienced name as well in that team now. And it kind of felt like, well, the expectations rose, like we spoke about before we came on. And I think the expectations rose also because you won 2-0 against Oxford and played unbelievably well, and won 2-0 at Highbury and played really well as well. You matched Stevenage as well, and you had a really good start to the season. You've gone, to Derby and got a point. You drew home to Portsmouth, you know, even in that bad run. So there was glimpses, you know, beat Reading on Sky. And that kind of rose expectations a little bit, thinking, hang on, can we do something special this year? But unfortunately, what is it, 1-13? I know you drew kind of 5 or 6 of those. It's not great. And you gave him a new deal 11 weeks ago today as of recording. That never really felt like it was going to ever see the daylight. It always kind of felt like it was, right, we're in a bit of trouble. How can we reassure our fan base that the club is running fine, we're going to be all right? And 11 weeks later, that kind of proved right, that he's lost his job. And I do think it's the right call. I do kind of think, well, if it went on any further, would it jeopardise him as a man in Cambridge a little bit? Look, he's a legend, and that gets spread across far too easily now in football. But he is a legend, you know, not just at Cambridge, but what he's done for football as well, for teams like Cambridge and Fleetwood. Can have a look at that. Cheltenham can look at that. Those teams, you know, at the end of, you know, League One and League Two, can believe they can get promoted from anywhere. So, you know, a good job overall. If I was the owner of Cambridge, I'd be looking for some experience, an outsider, a real someone that can get, you know, get the ground running, get a belief. You know, your Carl Robinsons, I'd be having a look at, because he can play exciting football. I know we want to stay down there. Danny Cowley, you know, their backs against the walls, you know, again, good owners, a good core of a team, you know, players that will want to work hard. I think he'll suit that. Dean Holden as well, work with young players as well, and can improve them as well. And wrongly sacked at Charlton, and that's not done his he profiled too well. But again, going back to Bono, a brilliant job, the right decision. And I think it'll be a very, very relieved Cambridge fan base, but a bit of a somber one, because you know they've lost a big legend, and I'm sure he'll write a statement. He's classy like that, and he was always kind of very honest in his press conferences, and it's just a shame the way it happened, really.
Absolutely. So we're on the lookout for a new manager. You obviously have a different manager from when we played you at the start of the season. Brown going, correct decision in your eyes?
You can have Scott Brown if you want. yes, for me, last season, I said it, you know, it'll be, you know, earlier on, we beat you 1-0 last season and we played awful and it was cracked over paper. So many times last season, I came away quite frustrated when we nick a late goal and we draw and or we'd win and people going, oh, what a job he's doing, you know, Fleetwood 13th. Well, we should have been around there, you know, with your Mendes, Gomez, your Stockleys, your Marriott. Spent $500,000 on two strikers in January. Not many League One clubs can do that. You know, probably, you know, your Boltons, your Portsmouths, your Stevenages, probably nowadays, Peterboroughs, but they can make money in different revenues. And we had a really good team. And you know, we did a good job in terms of results, but the football was dire. And this season, what changed was that look of the green where instead of drawing a game 1-1, we'd lose it 2-0. They'd go and get the second goal, or we'd make a mistake, or you know, something would happen and we'd lose the game. And 5 defeats out of 6, like you, I didn't think it'd come as early as it did. I knew it was coming. And I remember someone saying to me, you'll make a video tomorrow on the bus home away from Charlton about Brown being sacked. I went, not a chance. He's going absolutely nowhere. And there was a lot of talk. If he went, who would you replace him with? And 12 hours later, he got the boot and Lee Johnson's come in. He's given me belief back. He's given me that belief that we can stay up. And look, there's been some bad defeats since he come in, but we've improved. And I was listening to Darren McAntony's podcast, The Hard Truth, you know, before, and it went, if you go to games and you're enjoying what you're watching, even though if the results aren't bad and you're coming away happy and satisfied with what you're watching, and there's a belief there, things will change and things will get better. And I went, I couldn't put that any better about my club at the moment, because there is performances there. We are having chances. Stevens had 31 shots. We're in the game. A red card's ruined us. So, you know, we are there at about, and I'm just hoping that we can find some results, because we've not been at our bottom four all season by the opening day.
So with Johnson in charge then, what's different compared to sort of how, you know, how and what Cambridge fans would have seen on the second game of the season? So is it a different kind of lineup, different kind of style of play at all?
Yes. So Brown was kind of very pragmatic, stay in your shape. Back three a lot of the time, he would go to a back four. You know, use your wing backs, get the ball out, cross the ball. A very old school approach, you know, be better than the man that you're up against. Johnson's a bit more free roll, a bit more kind of gone to a back four, which I think we needed to do. Press high up the pitch, cover your man, and you know, keep them penned in as well, and create opportunities at all costs. Shoot on sight, get the ball out to our wide, exciting players, and you know the midfield, you know, up and down, making sure that you know if you need to be subbed, you know he'll make a sub earlier on if he needs to as well, and it's better to watch. But unfortunately, you know, some of the bad defeats we've had, 4-1 at home to Wickham, 3-0 at home to Oxford, 3-0 at home to Stevenage, 1-0 at home to Lincoln, 3-0, you know, on Saturday against Stevenage, 3-0 away at Wigan. These are all good sides, but it's the manner of the defeats. If we lose one or two and, you know, we're in games, it's all right. But those three or fours, you know, they've been a bit poor.
Why do you feel you've been shifting those amount of goals? Is there problems at the back? Is there something there that can give Cambridge fans some hope?
Our fullbacks, worryingly. Now, Rooney is a good player going forwards. And again, I think it was a Rooney to Earl combo last season in League One that won us the game. And that's what I'm kind of saying. Josh Earl is a fantastic player. And there's not many centre-halves I would have in League One over Josh Earl. Fantastic there. As a left back, he's decent. He's not bad. But what you do lose when you put Josh Earl left back, you lose a good centre half and you kind of lose that structure where we were so good last season. And that is the biggest worry. We have not had a proper left back at this football club, bar Danny Andrew, for 5 seasons. Danny Andrew used to have to play 50 games a season for Fleetwood and hope he wouldn't get injured. And that is the issue that we're having. We can play Cole Johnson there, who's naturally a winger or midfielder that has to play right back, left back, being used as a utility man, which I don't think at the age of 22, 23, you really want to be doing. You want to be thriving in your natural position. And, our wing backs, we don't get out to crosses, box entries. The first 6 minutes against Lincoln, the first 5 minutes against Stevenage, the first 5 minutes against Wigan, against Oxford, we last 20 minutes. And these are, Wickham the same. And we don't get through the first 20 minutes of games very well. If we get through the first 20 minutes, we're normally all right. But it's from those wide areas that we've got to be better. And we've got the worst defence in League One, but on paper, I think our strongest assets defensively, our centre-halves, Ben Hennigan, Boston Lewells, Josh Earls. If we can play them three regularly, two of the three, I think we'll be okay. But it's just, we need a right-back and we need a left-back. Rooney's fantastic going forwards, but we need a right-back.
Brilliant. And then at the other end of the pitch going forward, who do you think Cambridge fans should keep an eye out for on Saturday? What names are going to sort of maybe throw the balance your way?
I was going to say Junior Caterna, but he got injured away at Barnsley. And he actually scored his first goal for Fleetwood against Cambridge, last season as well. And we only signed him because of a work permit failed for him at Waterford. So we signed him and took him on. Waterford are our sister club. But I don't think he'll be able to play. Phoenix Patterson has come in. He also came from Waterford. He's fantastic. He's great crossover ball. He created 8 chances against Stevenage. He's bright, energetic, likes to get on the ball, and can work the ball well. Jack Marriott, I think you'll know very well, for his goals at this level for Peterborough and now Fleetwood as well. I think he scored, something like 14 or 15 goals, from January to thingy. And if he can do 15 goals and say to the end of the season, get another 8 or 9 for us, that'd be huge for us to the end of the season. So I'd probably go Phoenix and Jack Marriott. The issue is Jack Marriott is the only source of goals for us at the moment. And if he gets sussed out, Fleetwood gets sussed out.
Right then. Last question. How do you see Saturday going? What's your take on the game? What's your prediction?
I can see it tight. I can see both teams scoring. I'm going to go 2-1 to Fleetwood. I don't normally go for Fleetwood victories this season, but I think that we'll get the job done and hopefully, and Lee Johnson's talked about, his admiration for Cambridge, obviously grew up in Newmarket as well. And, with his dad,
Dad managed the team, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And in most of his press conferences, he was speaking about his respect for Cambridge. So I think it's going to be a nice cup tie, friendly bunch of fans. And it's going to be an interesting one to see how Cambridge bounce back as well.
If you do beat us, Nappers, I have to let you know now, In the first round, we inherited an inflatable FA Cup from a Brackley fan who inherited it from a Pool Town fan. I can't remember who started it, but someone has said they want this inflatable FA Cup to make its way to Wembley. So we said we'd pass it on to whoever knocks us out. So if you do win on Saturday, you'll be taking that back up on the bus with you. We'll find you after the game.
Right. Sounds good to me.
And of course, you'll probably end up taking it to Wembley in May, no doubt.
Oh, mate, I think that's got to be the aim. We might get relegated with about 30 points, but we're in the FA Cup and we'll be playing in Europe, while playing. We'll have who will it be? Olympiakos and, Genk away and then Accrington away the next week.
Brilliant. Nappers, always a pleasure.
Safe
travels on Saturday. Thank you very much, Nappers. Always a pleasure to speak to you. He's a big fan of Bonner. Fleetwood obviously had a manager change as well since we've played them, Tom. So we'll be a different kind of game from when we went there at the start of the season, which was quite frankly a brilliant away day, a brilliant away performance.
Mate, if you'd told me coming out of that ground this is the conversation we'd be having now, I'd have been quite surprised, to be honest. Everything felt so rosy and so nice. Maybe it was just the weather, or maybe it was just the level of intoxication.
That sea air. That lovely, lovely Fleetwood sea air.
Yeah.
We haven't really spoken much about the actual Lincoln game itself, but I think it'd be good to cover that as we think about what it might be like on Saturday when we host Fleetwood. So obviously 5 changes going into the Lincoln game. Bennett dropped, change around in midfield. I felt like it worked for the opening 10-15 minutes, and I feel like that's a statement from the last few weeks of Bonner's tenure, isn't it? You know, it works until you go behind, and then it didn't work. Was there anything from Tuesday that you think that Barry Corr will roll into Saturday? Do you think the personnel, the lineup, any sort of positives from those changes that you think he might try and explore in his first starting 11?
Wow, this sounds really strange, doesn't it? Who's Barry Corr going to pick for the team? My God, that just sounds weird.
More importantly, do you reckon he's registered himself as a player manager?
Oh, because, now we're talking.
Because if his name's not on the team sheet and he's there on the bench, I'll be livid.
Oh, imagine it. Scores leveled, he wheels himself on. It'd make it all worthwhile, wouldn't it, Jordan? You'd have sacked him months ago if that was a possibility. I jest, of course. No, I think that without trying to oversimplify things too much, I think the really obvious one is Glenn McConnell. Has to start the game for me. And look, I guess
a start, really?
Yeah, 100%. He was our most effective player when he came on Tuesday night. Showed some really good things. Showed the sort of fearlessness that you often get with younger players. And
do you not think that came from being a sub and, you know, coming on late on, tired defence and things like that? Do you think he'd have the same impact if he started?
Well, there's only one way to find out, isn't there? You know, there's been too much of, like, young players having, you know, flashes and then not being given the opportunity to do it. I think, like, to be honest, a lot of what will happen on Saturday, particularly with the selection, will come down to how seriously Corr and or Betsy feel that their name is in the ring for, you know, for the actual permanent job. I think if, like, it's really obvious they're going to make an external appointment, I think I'll just go, do you know what, let's just try and please some people. Yeah. Like, and just try and put on a bit of a show. I can't see it being, like, markedly different. Obviously, these guys worked with Bonner and, you know, Corr particularly for a few years, and, you know, Betsy obviously very closely for a few months. So you have to assume that they share at least partially similar, sort of ideologies, I guess, when it comes to how the team should be set up and who should be in it. I think I'd start McConnell. You know, you look at the people he's competing with, and frankly, they've not shown their worth, particularly in terms of Kai Kachunga. I don't think played particularly well on Tuesday night. And, you know, if it's a question of who's in front of him, well, I don't really think there's anyone at the moment. So, you know, it's as good a chance as any to kind of put him in the team.
Do you think Corr will stick with the whole inverted winger and playing people on the wrong side?
Do you know what, Jordan? This is terrible audio content and I shouldn't really be saying it on a podcast, but do you know what? I've got genuinely no idea. I don't know.
What do you hope? Would you want to see McConnell on the left or the right?
I think he looked quite good coming in off the left on Tuesday night. Part of this is probably just recency bias, and maybe I'm over egging how impactful or good his performance was, because the rest of it was just total garbage. So any sort of slight bright spark I'm maybe, you know, kind of clinging on to. But look, I think I can't see wholesale changes here. Like, we're not going to go three at the back. I would have thought we're going to go three at the back and really kind of mix things up. I think you might see a couple of the kind of stalwarts of the team back in the team, particularly Brophy. I think Ryan Bennett,
I was going to ask you about him.
I think Bennett will probably come back in. I'm intrigued to see how it goes. It was looking like a really easy one to just write off and just not go to be honest with you. I've got a long trip to make.
You didn't make that FA Cup to not show up to FA Cup games, Tom.
Yeah, I had to buy extra tinfoil supplies just to make sure that there's enough in stock to get the big cup out of the cupboard again. Now I'm intrigued to see how it goes. I'm intrigued to see what the atmosphere is like, because that, as much of anything, to me was the sign that things were maybe about to change. Because, you know, the Abbey was so flat on Tuesday night, and more than anything, it was the reaction to Lincoln's second goal that worried me, because it was just a collective shrug of the shoulders. Oh, well, here we are again. We kind of half expected it, and it was the same from the players as well. You know, and I think we need to see a reaction from these players. Like, just because we're talking a lot about Bonner, and obviously he's the main talking point because of what's happened, it doesn't stop the fact that a lot of these players have been selling themselves short in terms of their performances. And you know what? You know, if I feel like this, I guarantee there's a lot of other people out there who feel probably even stronger about it than I do. If a lot of these players suddenly start to up their game because Bonner's gone, I think that might really rankle with quite a few people. Mm. Like, if people start to pull their fingers out, you know, with, you know, and weren't playing for a guy like Bonner, that might, you know, not annoy, but it might think, well, where was this a few weeks ago, sort of thing. But yeah, like, the conversations still remain about that. Like I mentioned earlier, like, I don't think we're going to see like a sudden uplift. So I don't think it's going to be like, right, we're back, sort of thing. I think we've just got to see a bit more. And, you know, we're still looking for the reaction from the Posh game, to be honest with you, which hasn't come at Northampton. It didn't come on Tuesday night, and we hope it comes on Saturday. And, you know, you're right. You know, the you know, there's not a whole amount of jeopardy in this. Like, if we go out the cup, it'll be, well, there's plenty of distractions elsewhere. And there's much bigger decisions and things going on at the football club than a cup run at the moment. But look, the upside of it is it brings a bit of positivity back into the place if we can win and get through. And obviously potentially sets you up with something to really look forward to. And you know, as much as it would be a shame if we get, you know, a big tie away from home, you know, big ground to go to an Anfield, the Emirates, where, you know, wherever it might be, without Mark Bonner, for sure that would really help, I think, a lot of people to kind of look forward rather than dwelling on what might have been.
Do you secretly want us to not get to one of those grounds and one of those games, so people don't make jokes?
They even managed to squeeze one in yesterday, actually, which was great. A little comment about missing Ironside's goal. Maybe, you know what? Maybe that's the reason I've always been prone to thinking we should change it. Maybe it's nothing to do with Mark Bonner. Maybe it's actually more.
It's all coming out now, mate. It's all coming out now. That's what the chip is. Yeah. Okay. Quickly before we end. God, it's so hard to ask this, but what do you reckon in terms of how the day pans out? What's your prediction? I'm gonna go negative, and I think, I don't know, I think we might lose.
Yeah,
I tell you why I think we might lose.
Go on, enlighten me, Jordan, because it probably lines up with my own thoughts.
I'll tell you, because I know you're not going to listen to the Nappers preview that I recorded. they concede a lot of goals, but their whole kind of, if they concede early, then they're done. They're out of the game, bit like us. And I just don't know if I back us to get that early goal. If only that penalty that should have been for Gassan on Tuesday night had been given, could have been a different Tuesday night. But yeah, I've just got a feeling they like to press high. Their wide players are good. Well, that's their strength. I just feel like that kind of lends itself to sort of not the opponents you want to be playing when you've sort of had a bit of a roller coaster of a week and your confidence is low. So I'm not confident about this one.
Yeah, I'm not either, really. I think there might be a bit of a kind of almost like somber atmosphere around the ground. And I just wonder if Fleetwood might be able to take advantage of that. I think a lot of this comes from, I don't think there's going to be like a really galvanizing impact of making this managerial change, not immediately. And I think it's going to be something that, like I've said a couple of times already, like, I think we'll see it, you know, the benefit of it more when we look back after sort of 4 or 5 months than we will in the sort of immediate short term. It's hard for me to kind of really look at this and look at it with too much more positivity than what I thought about the Lincoln game, to be honest with you. Look, we went to Fleetwood and we were comfortably better than them at their place. Clearly a lot has happened in between. But it's a really difficult one to call, you know, for every reason. I guess the worst possible thing, well, I do wonder if a replay would be as bad now as it might have been maybe if we hadn't sacked Bonner, just because you assume that a new man would be in place by then. Mm-hmm. And does it just give like the manager another opportunity to look at his squad and look at his players and you know, kind of assess what they want to do going into January? Clearly, I'm not suggesting if we're 1-0 up with seconds remaining that we stick one in the back of the net, our own net, that is, to make that happen. But Yeah, I'd like, look, it's the FA Cup, right? Like, we've all had incredible memories in the FA Cup, none more so in Newcastle. It's been talked about so much in the last couple of days for obvious reasons. I'd love another cup run. I'd love another cup run. And like to think that we've got enough about us to be able to beat a Fleetwood team that I think we should be able to beat. But, you know, I've no idea what the reaction is likely to be either on the pitch or off the pitch, to be honest with you. So that's the intriguing thing.
Right. Tom, when I do these preview shows, I like to end with a little preview nostalgia. How's this one for you? 2014, FA Cup against Fleetwood Town at the Abbey, 1-0. Who got the winner? Do you remember?
Oh, don't I just remember. Yeah, big Kwezi Appiah. You know who he scored against?
Who?
Chris Maxwell was in goal, I believe, that night.
Oh, was he?
Once also of the Abbey Parish. Yeah. Oh, man, those were the days, weren't they? Everything was so much easier. I think Richard Money was manager. Kwezi Appiah was banging in goals up front. there was none of this emotional gut wrenching that there was to come. If only we'd known then, we could have prepared ourselves better.
When I was speaking to Nappers earlier, he sort of mentioned this. He went, I think you beat us in the FA Cup once before. I think it was 1-0. And to hold back my glee and be like, of course it was 1-0. It was Kwezi Appiah, you idiot. But yeah, like, there
who?
We go.
Who?
Play the African Cup of Nations, mate.
Don't remember. Go.
Bit of cheeriness to end the pod on. Tom, it's been good chatting to you, mate.
Yeah, what a roller coaster of emotions it's been. And yeah, like, I'm sure we'll have plenty more opportunity to unpick it over the coming weeks.
We'll be back with the review pod on Monday, talking about who we want in the third round. See you then.